Pastor told me that the size of the pulpit determines the length of the message. He didn't say it impacts the power of the message, just the length of the message. What a joy to be back with you after going to Israel with some of you and then having 27 of you in our home and in our church and having spent some time with you last year. We feel like we're coming home. And it's kind of different for a Yankee to feel at home in Texas. But I just got to get me a pickup truck and a hat, and I'll be all set. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight I just want to share with you four reasons why I believe every believer should be involved in faith, promise, missions, giving. If you can leave here remembering one or two, I'll be happy, but I hope you remember all four. Four reasons why I believe every Christian, every believer should be involved in faith, promise, missions, giving. Reason number one is faith. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it says, "But without what? It is impossible to what? For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We must understand that faith promise giving is our attempt to diligently seek him. When we come together and say we're going to give to missions, what we're saying is, Lord, we want to diligently seek you by sending people to proclaim you and make you known. And we have to know something about faith. We all know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You and I do not know the future, but we do know one thing. He is not willing that any should perish. Some of you get so worried. Should we send this brother to such and such a place? How do we know God wants him there? And you get worried about some funny things. How do we know the fields are what? White on the harvest. When I was younger and I was looking for the Lord's leading in my life where to go, I said, Lord, please don't send me to a predominantly Islamic country where I'll preach and preach and people won't get saved. Please send me to a place where I can sow the seed and harvest. Sow the seed and harvest. And I got to Ghana, West Africa, and that's just such a place. But once I got to Ghana, guess what he told me? Now, Steve, from Ghana, go to those Muslim countries. And then from Ghana, we've been going into those Muslim countries that they do not respond well to the gospel. And in one conference, we saw 38 Muslims come to know Christ as Savior. The field is wide unto harvest. And we must say to God, we trust you, we believe you, therefore we will go. Therefore we will give, therefore we will pray. Reason number one to give the faith promise is it exercises your faith. It shows that you believe this is His Word and that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even can think. And so what's the number one reason we should give? Well, this is a faith promise missions giving. We should be motivated by faith. I know that He's promised to take care of me in this life. And here's what's funny about Christians. You'll ask them, what did you do to earn eternal salvation? And what's the answer? Nothing. It's by what? By grace through? Faith. Yes. And then when we talk about daily living, we say, well, here's where we have a problem, trusting God. I trust God with eternity, but I don't trust God with my tithe, with my faith promise, because I have to take care of my home. And so all of a sudden, you can trust God for eternity, but you can't trust Him for what? The temporary, the here and now. You know you can't get to heaven on your own. If I said, why don't you just go there right now? You said, I don't know the way. And so you don't know how to get to heaven. You're waiting for the what? The upper taker. I don't want to wait for the undertaker. I am looking forward to the upper taker. I want to listen to him say, come forth, come hither, and be taken up. I don't want to listen to the undertaker, taking me to the grave. But that might happen. But listen, we need to be motivated by faith. Number one reason I give to faith promise is because I trust God. So tonight, could you tell God, God, because I have trusted you for my eternal life, I will also trust you right here and now in making this promise. This morning, as we watched the numbers go higher and higher and higher, our heart was rejoicing. You know why? Because that doesn't look like money to me. That looks like souls to me. That's what it looks like to me. People are going to hear the gospel. People are going to have a missionary. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And as I saw the numbers go up, I'm wondering how many more laborers will get thrust into the harvest. And that gets exciting. Reason number two why you should give to faith promise. Faith, promise. What's up with this word promise? To promise is to give your word that you will do something or give something. Now there's a lot of people today saying, no, the Bible tells us we shouldn't vow, we shouldn't make promises. For me, I'm not making any promises because it's just not safe. You can make a promise and then what? Fail to keep it. So it's better what? Better not to promise. I ask you, how many of you have a mortgage? Did you have to promise the bank anything? How many of you have bought a car recently on credit? If you paid cash, you don't have to make promises, right? If you bought on credit, you made a promise. How many of you want water hooked up to your house and electricity? Do you know everywhere you go they want a promise from you? And they usually ask you for what? John Hancock. We don't just want this promise, we want this promise. And so you're being asked for promises all the time. Some of you are very pious and you say, well, Pastor, I don't think I can make a promise to God because I might fail. How many of you are married? Imagine, Brother Weaver, you get the man and the wife down the front here and the husband says, I do, and you go to the wife and you say, do you promise this, this, this? And she says, you know, I'm afraid I might not be able to keep that. That in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, that's, if he is loaded, I'm with him, but if he's not, would you continue the wedding? For me, I'd say, that's it. Wedding adjourned. I do not pronounce man and wife. Because if she doesn't also what? Promise, we don't have a wedding. And so we talk piously that we're not into promises when it comes to God. But when it comes to your kids, they're misbehaving. You say, listen, I promise you McDonald's after church. Just don't disgrace me. You promise your kids, but you say, I can't promise God. Let's be careful. A promise is a sign of a relationship. I don't have a problem promising my wife because it's my joy to fulfill the promise. I don't have a problem promising my children because it's my joy to fulfill the promise. The reason why someone doesn't want to make a promise to God is because it's not their joy to fulfill it. They're grudgingly saying, where will I get the money? How? I don't know what I'll make tomorrow. But you know, in your faith promise, if you'll read that card carefully, it is saying depending on the Lord's supply. I'm making a promise to God, say, God, make me able because I want to be a channel. I want to be a channel. And so we get to this word promise, and we see in Ecclesiastes 5:4, turn over there with me, powerful verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in who? Fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now I know some of you are going to want to read down the next verse and say, you see, it says, don't promise. Did your teacher ever teach you good, better, and best? You say, It's not good to make a promise to God and then break it. That's not good. But you know what's best? To make a promise to God and keep it. So just because it's better not to promise, you say, for me, I like better. I don't know about you, but I like the best, preacher. I'm not happy with better. I want the best. And the best is I make a promise to God and I keep it. And that's the sign of my relationship. Do you want a good marriage, a better marriage, or the best marriage? If your wife says, if you promise to take me to Disney World, we'll have the best marriage. Listen, I'm packing to Disney World. Because I want the best marriage. She doesn't give me ultimatums like that, and I thank God, that's why I chose her. But I'm telling you, if there was an ultimatum like that, I'd be on it, because I want the best. And my God says, if I want the best relationship, I can make a promise to Him, keep my promise, and I will have that best relationship with Him, because then He says, try me and see if I won't open a window of blessing. God wants you to try Him, prove Him, test Him, and see what He will do. God loves it when you make Him promises, because He's a promise-making God. You are never more like your God when you keep your promises. Y'all love John 3:16. Y'all love John 14, where He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and what? I'm coming again. You say, I like that promise. Then why don't you like making promises? In a good relationship, when someone promises you something, you promise them back. But you say to God, my name is one way. I receive the promises. I don't give them. And so you come to Faith Promise Missions Conference, squeeze up your face and say what? My job is shaky. This is shaky. The economy is shaky. Forget it. His economy is fine. Go ahead and make Him a promise and then stand on the promise. That is a good reason to do Faith Promise. Well, we should be able to tell God, God, because You've promised me many things, I want to promise You many things. I can remember when, in 1997, when they were lowering my wife's coffin into the ground after she died in Africa, and I stood by her grave and I sang that song, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance afresh and anew to the Lamb. This has not broken me. It has renewed my resolve to promise Him again. Until the last breath, I'll preach Your word. It's good to make promises, not just about money, about your life, about your children, about your marriage. God loves our promises. The third reason why we want to make our faith promise commitment is the word missions. We have faith, we have promise, we have missions. What is missions? Missions is the act of making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what missions is all about. If any of these missionaries go overseas and they don't make disciples, they've failed. No matter what else we do, we must make disciples. That's the Great Commission. We haven't accomplished the mission until we've made disciples. And so in Matthew 28:19-20, we have the Great Commission that we should go into all the world and what? Make disciples. And then baptize them and teach them all things whatsoever He has commanded us. And so we have the Great Commission. This is the reason. We all know that we cannot please God while living in rebellion to His commands. Let's just say you say to God, God, I love You, I want to please You, but I just don't want to obey You. How well will that go? It won't fly. I can't live in rebellion to the commander-in-chief and say, I'm subordinate. I'm walking in step. I'm insubordinate. I'm greedy. I'm selfish. Short-sighted. And I've forgotten what He did for me at Calvary. And so when I think about the word mission, I know that I have a great commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so we need to be able to tell God tonight, God, because You commanded us to preach the gospel, I will earnestly support Faith, Promise, Missions, Giving. You see, it's just in the name. That's the third reason. The last reason, the fourth reason, is the word giving. Giving is the act of sacrificial love for the benefit of another. Much of what we call love today is, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Much of the motivation for missions is, I'm going to give a faith promise missions because I want God to bless my pocket. And that's the motivation. It's like, I heard someone give a testimony, because I gave the faith promise missions, I got richer. So I want to get richer. It's kind of like putting money in the bank, right? God's bank, you get more interest. So we get motivated to give for the wrong reason. And so in this giving, giving is the act of a sacrificial love for the benefit of another. We find that kind of giving in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. Listen, He became poor when He was rich, that we who are poor might become rich. And now, the little that we have, we want to hold on to it and say, what? Not my money, not my life, but all of it is from Him. And so in giving, this sacrificial giving, we all know that if God had not given His Son, we would be what? Hopeless. If God had not given His Son, there would be no salvation. And so if we know that, we know that. Tithes and offerings support our local church. But how will we attempt to obey the Great Commission? We need an offering outside the tithe. Take time to study the Old Testament. You will find there's a tithe, but there's a lot of other offerings outside of the tithe. Sometimes people just say, tithing's Old Testament. So is giving offerings, and so is sacrifice. There are many things in the Old Testament that they had. No Jewish man could say, once we give the tithe, we're done. There was almsgiving, giving to the poor, to the needy. You didn't reap all of your harvest. You left some behind. The Christian life is not just about, I paid my tithe and I'm done. Don't talk to me about anything else. If we are going to impact the world for Christ, we have to look beyond the tithe, because the tithe is to take care of the ministry here in Fort Worth. But if we're going to reach the world, we've got to move beyond the tithe and say, there's another giving that God is asking me to do, and this is a voluntary giving. It's the expression of my love. How shall they preach except they be sent? Faith promised missions given is for sending them to preach. We must get that. What if we said to God, God, because you have given so much to me, I want to give for world evangelism. There's testimony time sometimes in church on Sunday night, on Wednesday, and people will just tell you how good God is. Have you ever been to one of those? They'll start talking about how good God is. And sometimes it's just as simple as a good parking spot at Walmart. It all depends on who you are, what you're praying for, right? But some people will give a testimony of how good God is. But I wonder if God could give a testimony about how good we are. Do you know, if my wife starts bragging on me, what's the natural thing I want to do to her? She starts telling people what a wonderful husband I am. I have to pay her. No. No, I tell them what a wonderful wife she is. And when you brag on God, it should only be normal that God would like to say to Satan, Satan, do you see my servant? He loves me. You can't shake him. You can't shake her. You can't take what they have and they'll curse me, because they love me and they've proven it time and time again. What if God starts bragging on you? And this is where it gets exciting. Because there's more than just giving your money. There's giving your life. There's giving your strength. There's giving your children. So if I were to close this message tonight, I want you to think about these four reasons for giving in one simple sentence. Lord, because I really love you and trust your holy word, I want to make a promise to you this year to give X amount of dollars each week for the advancement of world evangelism. That's what you're voting for. So when Dr. Don Sisk was telling you that this is a business meeting and you're voting, we're not voting by raising our hand. Because I'm telling you, to evangelize the lost, we've been commanded to do it. You vote by giving. That's how you vote. You vote by going. You vote by praying. And so that's how we're going to vote. Our vote isn't, yeah, I think we ought to do faith promise, or no, I don't think we should do faith promise. You're voting to what extent this church will obey God. To what extent we will sow the seed. To what extent we will reap the harvest. When I arrived in Ghana in 1995, I believed that God was calling me to plant a church that would be a life-giving church. I said, God, I want to pastor a church where we lead men to Christ, we disciple them, and we send them to preach the word. If I'm able to do anything, Lord, please allow me to do that. And we began the ministry in 1997. My wife died. I came home to the United States. God blessed me again with another wife after a year and a half. And then we went to visit our churches and went back to the field in 1999. When I was leaving for Africa in 1999 with my new wife, I beg Dr. Patterson, would you please come and preach my first Faith Promise Missions Conference in Ghana? And I said, my people are so poor, I don't think it's going to work. I'm just telling you, they're poor. Nobody in my church even comes in a car. The richest person comes on a motorcycle. The upper class come on bicycles. And the average person comes on foot. And I want us to have Faith Promise Missions because I want our church to give to missions. And I believe God will bless our church. And I told our deacons that we're going to do this, and they thought I was crazy. They said, Pastor, I'll work in America. That won't work here. And I said, please, just humor me. I'm your pastor. Brother Mike came, and he preached the conference, and God moved their hearts. And we had our first Faith Promise Missions Conference. And I'm telling you, at the end of the conference, we collected the cards. And besides we, the missionaries, we had five participants. Five. And I was like, well, it wasn't quite what I'd hoped for with 200 people. Five got on board. But one of the five was a lady who was the third wife of a polygamous man. And this lady lives a very rough life because there's like 25 children in the house. She's the third wife, and it's a rough life. She would make a headpan full of food, like tamales, but they're made of corn dough. They look like balls. And she'd walk the city selling these things. And she'd spend all day doing that, come home tired, and then have to cook supper with the profits that she made, make some more food for the next day to go out. And this was her life, day after day, selling kanki. And I asked her to give to missions. How could I do that? I'm so cruel. Well, I was just preaching the Word of God. This lady made a faith promise commitment and kept it. At the next year's Faith Promise Missions Conference, we have a bonfire where we all stand around the bonfire, and those who gave their faith promise faithfully all year give a testimony of how good God is. This lady got up with her faith promise commitment, which she had more than tripled the next year. She came to the fire. She said, I used to struggle every day making one headpan of food, walking all over the city to sell it. I want you to know, since I've given faithfully the faith promise, I make 13 headpans of food and I never leave the house. And you might say, well, no big deal on that. I say, yeah, this lady was excited. 13 headpans of food, and she doesn't walk around. She makes it at home and they come and buy it. And so I got a little tickled by that. Every year I listened to her faith promise, and in the eighth year of her faith promise, she got up and she couldn't stop crying. She was putting her card in there, and she said, you know, I'm the third wife of a polygamous man, and I've been given faithfully to Faith Promise Missions. And I want you to know God did something for me because I'm faithful to give the Faith Promise Missions. He called my son to be a pastor. And my son is the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Crowville. Your pastor just preached the dedication service of that church. And it's one of the biggest church buildings we've ever built in our ministry. And this lady is tickled that her reward is not more kanky, but her reward was that God would look into the family of a polygamous woman and say, I want your son to be my servant to preach the word. And the 27 of you who came to Ghana, you know Pastor Gilbert Ayerick. He's from a very big polygamous family. And he loves Jesus Christ with all of his heart. And he's the father of our orphans. He takes care of them. I want you to know there's a reason to give the Faith Promise Missions. And that is the reward of changed lives, surrendered lives. I don't care if I ever get rich given the Faith Promise, just as long as I keep seeing the spiritual results of the giving. If you'd say, Steve, do you want $10,000 or another pastor preaching the word? The $10,000 means nothing to me. Give me another man to preach the word. We'll start another church and we'll reach more lost sinners for Jesus Christ. The reason we give the faith promise is not to be enriched. It's to expand His kingdom so that when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. I voted yes for that. I voted yes for that. When I voted to give the Faith Promise Missions. Heavenly Father, this is a celebration. We will celebrate these missionaries as they come to receive these gifts. But we are celebrating Jesus Christ. What He's done in their lives. He's transformed them to touch their hearts and made them willing to leave their country to carry the good news to the ends of the world. Their love for Christ has so excited this church that they want to lavish love upon them, because we don't know how to lavish it directly upon you yourself. And you said, if what we did for the least of the brethren, we've done it unto you. Father, every gift here tonight is dedicated to you. It's for you. It's for your honor, for your glory. Please allow these missionaries to receive it for you and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Pastor, would you lead us?